Amen. I was in tears the first few seconds there because I thought, you know, I just really love those people. You are those people. It's been a special year. It's a special day in the life of our church, and looking forward to celebrating this throughout the rest of this day. We are going to have our children's time this morning, and so if the children would please meet at the back door. We have Elijah playing bodyguard back there, keeping everybody from running. Lord, be with these kids and bless them as they study your word today and learn about you and grow. Thank you for them. You're a blessing. Well, this is a special day. This is called our, we call this our vision day. This is the day when we kind of reflect on the previous year and we look forward to the next year. And that's what we want to do a little bit today. If you're visiting with us, glad you're here. This will be a good way to get to know who we are and understand a little bit about what's going on at this church. It's just a special time for us. You know, there's a lot to be said about the church in God's mind. You know, there's some real powerful language that the Bible uses regarding the church. For example, the church is called the bride, right, of Christ. That's a strong way to say it. The bride of Christ also says that Christ died for the church. Now, that's amazing to think. I mean, somebody gives their life for something, it must be pretty important. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. And it says, too, that Christ in this time, in this place, is working in the church to present the church to himself radiant. That's a powerful word. Radiant. Like a beautiful bride presented to himself. I don't know about you, but I find that radiance is a bit of a process. When we get up in the morning, you know, none of us run to the mirror and say, wow, first thing, radiant, you know. We get into the shower, we try to avoid the mirrors on the way to the bathroom, and we get into the shower, and we kind of clean ourselves up, and then some of us need to shave afterwards, and then we're ready to look in the mirror and say, okay, now God's, you know, ready to do some work here. We can work with this. And the same thing goes with the church. It's a process of going from who we start off as to becoming the radiant bride of Christ. And God's in the midst of that process right now. And this past year. And in this church, which is coming up on 3 years old in November. And we want to encourage that process in this coming year. We want to open ourselves to God's working to make us as brilliant and as bright and as shining as we can possibly be in the coming year. One thing I've learned about myself is that in the morning when I get up, I'm really bad at determining what I'm going to wear for the day. I'm groggy, and I'm trying to factor in all the issues, like, who am I going to meet today? Do I have to try and look like a pastor, or do I not need to worry about that? What's the weather like? And it doesn't sound like much right now, but when I'm groggy in the morning, it's totally overwhelming to me, and I just stand there in my closet. And really, nothing in my closet doesn't match with anything else. I mean, I'll sort of goes. It's just plain. But I just stand there. So what I had to do, I have to get it out beforehand, the night before. I got to get my clothes out, put them in the bathroom so that after I take a shower, I don't have to go through all that process. And churches can fall into that same trap. They could just sort of sit there and sort of stand before the options that are before them in terms of how to do ministry and what to do and how to get engaged and how to change the world and how to follow Christ. And we don't want to fall into that trap, this church. We want to be ahead of the game with a vision and a plan to move forward and answer the call of God on us. And that's what we want to do this morning. That's what this day is about, our vision day. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out how, Lord, can we kind of get ahead of the curve, listen to your voice ahead of time, and have a plan and begin to work towards this coming year. What we want to do, really, what this is about this morning, is how's God going to turn up the brilliance in this congregation over the next year? How's going to God going to turn up the light factor, going to make us shine a little bit more? So would you pray with me as we begin to think about these things? Lord, so struck by what you say in Proverbs about how we make the horses ready, but the victory is with the Lord. And so done a lot of readying the horses and trying to pull together different ideas and thoughts and fashion it into some sort of movement and action. But we just stand before you this morning plainly and say it's all nothing without your empowerment, without your movement in us. But the victory belongs with you. So we ask you, Lord, this morning, as we begin to think about the vision for our next year, as we begin to thank you for what you've done in this past year, that you would be infusing our hearts and our minds with your Spirit. You'd be calling each one of us. Some of us need to be tugged in our hearts to greater action. Some of us need to be encouraged. Some of us need to experience your grace and your mercy this morning. Whatever it is that you deem necessary, Lord, we invite you and ask you to be about your work this morning as we seek to follow you better and more. We seek to turn up the radiance factor in our church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want to do is just this morning I want to look at this last year and what the focus was of this past year and just really spend some time thanking God for what's happened and what's been going on in our congregation. And then the second thing I want to do is then look ahead at the coming year. And we're looking at a passage in Scripture that's going to help to send us off on our next year theme. We want to focus on that for the second part of what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, this process has been bathed in prayer. A bunch of us gathered last night, sort of the stout ones in our congregation. Some of us fasted and prayed yesterday, and we gathered together and just really got on our knees and prayed. And we've been bathing this whole process in prayer. And last night was really special to me. Very encouraged by it and very enthusiastic about this coming year. It was wonderful. Also, I want to say this. I know that some of you are listening to this from different chairs. In other words, some of you are, you know, you're kind of at the core of this church. You've been part of this church since we started, you know, 2.5+ years ago. And you've been gutting it out sometimes. And you've been serving. And so, you know, you're totally invested and bought into the congregation and just really there. And some of you are newer to the congregation. Maybe you're members, but you're kind of newer members, and you're just getting started and getting involved. Some of you are on the fringes or visitors, or you're just wondering what this place is about. And I just want to say that this vision that we're talking about this morning has room for every single one of us in it. Okay, wherever you are, you can be enfolded into the arms of this vision and this scope for this coming year. So I want you to look at it from that perspective. But first I want to talk a little bit about this last year. Our philosophy on choosing a year theme, and you know, this is going to be somewhat talk, somewhat preaching this morning. It'll be a little bit different than what we normally do. Some of the talking part here. You know, our philosophy for choosing a year theme is simply this, is that each year we want to have a focus, a way to pull our minds together on a particular topic, to move forward together, and to work together to kind of unite ourselves towards a particular goal. Our year theme is not about sort of waving the flag for one year and say, we're going to be about this year. We're going to be about this other thing this next year. It's about building the body of Christ. It's about building the organization that is the body of Christ in this place, Solana Community Church. It's more like building a house. You know, when you start, you build a foundation. But then after you finish that, you have to go on to building the walls. But you don't forget about the foundation. You leave the foundation there, and you build on top of what's already been there. And that's kind of the way we're looking at our year theme. Each year, we're going to add another component. We're not going to let go of what was already there in the coming year. We're going to build onto that. And so this last year, we had a particular theme, which was very special and near to my heart. It was called Creating a Culture That Looks Outward. Creating a Culture That Looks Outward. And we launched the theme looking at Jonah. And Jonah was somebody who had a real struggle with putting his own personal needs over and above the needs of others. And we looked at that and we said, you know, we don't want to be like that as a congregation, as a church. We want to be a church that elevates the needs of others over ourselves. We want to have a continually outward-focused stance. And so we initiated several things over the course of the year to try and make that happen. And really what we focused on in the beginning was preparing our hearts to be outward focused, to be caring about others, to have compassion towards those in need, whatever their circumstance. And so in order to make that happen, we did several different things. We taught on the first section of Acts in the very beginning of this season. And it was a great time. A lot of people said, you know, that really challenged me. And I still hear comments about when we were walking through the book of Acts and how that worked to change our hearts. We had a couple of corporate prayer meetings that we did. We had some testimonies that we shared at the very beginning about people doing outreach and ways that they were getting involved and serving others. And those were an encouragement to us. We revisited the vision in March. Some of you may remember we looked at the book of James, talking about faith and works and really analyzing the relationship between these two. And then out of that, we spawned this Count Me In project where we began to help the elderly and the needy in this area, which I'll talk about more in a little bit. And really what we were doing in those things was to try and change the heart, to bring the heart into a place where we're focused outward, where we're thinking about others. And that was the key thing. Once we get our hearts right, we know that everything else will follow. The actions will take place. We'll be creative. We'll be motivated. And so we're really focusing on getting our hearts right. And God was faithful in that process. In addition to that, you know, you don't just get your heart right. You got to do some stuff to get motivated and to get going. And so we executed a number of initiatives that were aimed at doing that. When we started off the year with having a Christian fundamentals class, we realized that we had a lot of new and young Christians in our community who needed to be grounded, needed to have a deeper understanding of the faith. And so we had a wonderful class that was offered here in the morning that was aimed at that. We had several special days that were outreach-oriented, aimed at making the gospel relevant and acceptable and to people who maybe are far from God. We had the Essence of Christianity Day, and that was where we just talked about that, in fact. And I remember a friend who came to that who hasn't darkened the door of a church in a long, long time. And he still talks about that day. It was very significant for him. It was a new experience. So we were trying to make this message available to more people. We had carols on Solano. Those of you who were driving up Solano Avenue, you saw, you know, Solano Community Church on the marquee there. And we had a Sunday right around Christmas. We sang carols. We joined with the other churches in this area to minister together to the community and offer a time to sing carols together. We had Christ in the Passover. We had somebody from Jews for Jesus come one week and did the whole Christ in the Passover around Easter time. This is a Jewish person who believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And he just shared with us just wonderfully how Christ is really in the midst of all of the elements of the Passover. And I had a friend who's Jewish come on that morning too. And she was so excited afterwards. She got his information and contacted him subsequently and has been continuing to pursue spiritual things. We had a Sunrise Easter service, and you saw some of the pictures there. The Lions Club has been doing this for years, for eons, and they recently invited us to get involved, and we sort of amped up the publicity for it in the community and invited some more people, and we showed up this past year, and it was so great because these guys have been coming forever with five or six people showing up. You know, we're so excited because they've never seen so many people at this outreach, and we're looking to amp that up even more this next year and really have this be a blessing and a service to the community. It was a wonderful hill over here that somebody's put a cross on, and on Easter morning, we ought to be there worshiping and inviting the community to worship. And so that was another way that we were reaching out over this past year. We did our Count Me In projects. I already mentioned those. We had two of those. We had about 40 people out working and on 10 different homes in the two projects and doing things like yard work for elderly and needy people, fixing light construction, a lot of painting and that kind of thing. And I was just visiting one of the women recently, and she said to me, she's sitting in her, I mean, she's so funny. Her picture was one of the pictures. Every time I go over there to deliver Meals on Wheels, she just wants to talk to me about our projects. And we were sitting in her kitchen, and she says to me, you know, I bet there are a lot of elderly people around who can't look out their back window because it's so overgrown. And you got to understand her perspective. She's in a wheelchair. If she can't look out her back window, she can't really look anywhere. And so this church, people in this church showed up. Her backyard looks beautiful now. There's flowers blooming from the things that were planted. And she gets up in the morning. She gets to look out. And she just gave me a great little vision. There's a lot of people like that who need that kind of strengthening and encouraging. And that was something that was really spawned out of this theme this last year, And it's been a beautiful thing. I've had, over this past week, as we plan for our next Count Me In project, I've had phone calls from, I've talked to the fire marshal, I've talked to people at the Lions Club, the city, you know, just on and on. There's real some enthusiasm about this. And people are seeing the church mobilized. They're seeing that we care not just about ourselves, but about the people around us. And it's having a great impact. So that was really encouraging. We also began to look at this whole topic more in a global sense of human trafficking. We had 7 to 9 people kind of participate in one way or another in some sort of study group or go to listen to a talk or have a dinner over the subject of human trafficking. There's millions of people who are enslaved in the world today. And we are studying and learning how we might step out to be a part of the solution to what's really human slavery. There are more slaves alive today than any other time in the history of the world, which is a mind-boggling statistic, but it's true. And as the church, as people who love freedom and freedom in Christ, we can't stand by the wayside and let this go without speaking into it. And so we've been studying how to do that. We've been studying how we could throw our 2 cents, as small as it might be, into that. We had home groups that were stepping up to the plate. And it's been a struggle at times, but we're seeing some traction with our home groups taking on projects, outward-focused projects, by themselves. We've had one of the home groups been very involved in training the students at the University Village to learn to speak English. We've had another home group that was out picking up trash and all of that in the village the shoreline recently. And we've had some other projects, feeding the hungry, working through the home groups. And that's really exciting to me because that builds community in the home group, but it also is an outward-focused thing. So just a few more here. And this isn't even everything. We had a kids' camp that was put on by a big church down in the south. And we had thousands of invitations go out. We had 50, 60 kids who showed up at this kids' camp this past year and heard the gospel, were ministered to, were loved on, were encouraged. And these are kids from the community that we really were seeking to reach out to. We had a website that was redone, thanks to Eric Hung, and that was intended to make things more clear for people who are interested in the gospel. And then lastly, our presence was felt at the Solano Stroll. You saw some pictures of that, and that was an encouraging thing for many people who were able to talk with us. And all of this was aimed at our particular theme. And then in addition to that, we had kind of our standard things that we do. We had 52 worship services. We had classes. We had one on finances, one on godly character, class on Galatians that's still going. We had a retreat. You saw some pictures from that. We had new members join the church. We had a couple of funerals in which people were encouraged and strengthened. And this community really came around others and blessed them and walked with them through a difficult time in their lives. We had lots of counseling happen. On all different levels, we had people come to faith this past year, and we've had a number, many, many instances where people have grown in Christ. And, you know, it's hard to be a pastor because you're the first one to know about the hard things in people's lives oftentimes. But it's great to be a pastor because you're the first one to know about some of the good things in people's lives oftentimes. And I wish I could share with you all the emails that I receive on a regular basis. God did this while I was taking communion this past week. Or in my home group, this is happening. Or so-and-so had me over for dinner, and that just blessed me like you didn't know. And on and on and on, people are growing in Christ-likeness. And those are the things that really give me encouragement and strength. So, did we do everything right over this last year in following this theme? Absolutely not. No way. There are a lot of missed opportunities that we missed as well. But I wanted to take a minute just to roll through that stuff quickly and say, you know, we need to thank the Lord for what he's done in our community and what he's doing and how he's blessed and how he's been working. So let's thank the Lord. In fact, why don't we just give, it's okay to clap for the Lord. I think that's a way to praise the Lord. So let's clap for the Lord because he hears that as worship and we want to worship him. So that's great. What are we going to do now? We're coming to the end of our year. Our year runs October to October. What's our focus for this next year? A lot of you have asked me, well, how do you come up with these year themes anyway? And it's really simple. What we do is we take Mike Son, who's our church chair, and we fly him over to Egypt. And he climbs up Mount Sinai, And he just spends 40 days and 40 nights on the top of Mount Sinai, and he doesn't eat anything or drink anything. And he comes back down, his face is glowing, and he's got these stone tablets, and he said, this is what we're doing next. And we just follow through. It's really easy. No, that's not how it works. Really what we do to come up with these year themes, we do a lot of things. We pray together a lot. And I begin praying like in January, all year really. I'm thinking about, okay, Lord, what do you have for us next? We talk a lot. The leadership team talks about what's going on in the church. We talk about with other people in the congregation. I remember a really great conversation at the retreat that I had with Mark's son that was really part of the genesis of our new year theme. We do some evaluation, some more critical thinking, taking some of the research tools that have been developed for churches, and we apply those to the congregation. We sort of ask, okay, where are we strong, where are we weak? And we throw that into the pot as well. We ask, okay, Lord, what would you have us do in this coming year? And so through that process, that prayer and that discussion and that study, here's what we've come up with for our next year theme and drum roll and all that stuff. It's called Building Vital Community. Building Vital Community. Community is the obvious piece. It's about relationships, it's about people living in a way that they're encouraging one another and supporting one another. When we took a little evaluation, we came up with that being an area where we thought we could shore up and be stronger. And since our name is Solano Community Church, we figured that that ought to be strong in our community. So that's the community aspect. Building is an acknowledgement that it's going to take some work to do this. It's going to take a little work to build vital community. Vital has to do with this idea of life-giving. There is something life-giving about strong, healthy community. When you're in it, when you're a part of it, when you're receiving the love and the care and the concern from other people, there is something life-giving about that. It builds us up. It makes us stronger. So building vital community is going to be our theme for this coming year. Now, I got to tell you, just honestly, I had some fears about picking a theme like this because to me it feels a little bit inward focused. And when I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, we started kind of a ministry. It was an evening service in a large church, and it just blossomed. It became, you know, right from the first day, there was just tons of people, and immediately began to focus in on building community. And after about a year or so, we lost sight of the outward focus. And we became sort of inward turn. And I vowed that that would never happen again. So when we started to talk about this theme, I really had to pray a lot. And I do what I always do, go to Scripture and say, okay, Lord, what is your vision for building vital community? What is the purpose of it? What does it look like? How is it done? And that's what I want to share with you a little bit this morning in the time that we have remaining. So if you want to open with me to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. We're going to take a look at this. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. We're going to be looking from 1 to 16. If you have a Bible that we've given you, it's page 812. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll pass one out to you. And by the way, you can have this Bible if you want. Take it home with you. Love for you to just keep it as a gift. You don't have to sign anything, say anything. Just walk out of here with it. It's yours. So we're talking about, really, what does the Bible say about building vital community? Why is it important, and what are some of the things that go with it? You know, this is something you can't force. It's kind of like relationships, you know, romantic relationships or something. You've ever tried to be a matchmaker, you just can't do it. You just can't force these things. They've got to come up on their own. So what does the Bible give us in terms of how to make this happen? Starting in verse 1, Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, here's what Paul is going to say is living a life worthy of the calling you've received. And it's a lot about community. Be completely humble and gentle, he says. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I'll skip to verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want to say a couple of things about this passage. There's no way that I can do a full exposition of it. I want to draw out the things that apply to our theme. Okay, I want to say a couple of things, and then I want to really hone in on why community is important biblically and why we need to pursue it and seek it. First of all, just a couple of preliminary, semi-random thoughts. Look at verse 3 with me. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I always used to read that verse to say that, you know, when there's a problem in the community, you need to make the effort to fix it. You need to forgive one another. You need to go to the person and if there's a conflict or anything like that. And that's true. That's a piece of it. But there's another piece here in making every effort. Community doesn't just happen by itself. It requires proactive people. It's not just a defensive statement, defend the community. It's a proactive statement. Make community happen. You got to go after it. You got to seek it. You got to make it happen. And that requires some changes in our lives. That requires some sacrifices at times. That requires looking at things a little bit differently. And it's especially difficult when you're in a community where there's a great diversity present. And I would say that we have, if not great diversity, a high level of diversity in this community. We have diversity of ages. We have diversity of races. We have diversity of social background. We have all kinds of diversity. And when you have higher diversity, it's more difficult to build community. And so you have to go after it a little bit more intentionally. And there's awkward moments because you don't understand where the other person is coming from. But it's in those awkward moments oftentimes where God does His greatest work and His shaping. I've told you this story many a times. When I was in seminary, I was the secretary for the black student group on campus. I went regularly, and they said, hey, why don't you be our secretary? And I said, okay. I think that was the glass ceiling for me in that group, secretary. I wasn't going to make it to vice president or president. But I was a secretary, and I was hanging out in this group, and it was wonderful because I began to see things through the eyes of people who had a very different experience than I did. And I began to see things in Scripture that I hadn't seen before because I was looking at it through their eyes. And there is a special thing about diverse community, that it forces us to know God better, to understand God better. But it takes more work. And so we have a wonderful blessing here to make every effort and to see wonderful fruit on the other side. Second sort of semi-random thing I wanted to say is in verse 7. And it's simply, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Simply what that means is that every single one of us has something to bring to the table when it comes to forming community. Every single one of us has something to bring to the table. God does not pull together a church randomly. It's just not a random smattering of people who are part of this congregation. God calls people to be part of a congregation. And when He calls, He equips and he blesses people with gifts to bring to the community. And there's a double loss when we don't bring our gift to the community. Because we lose out because we're not doing what God has called us to do in that place. And the people on the other side lose out because they're not receiving what God has intended them to receive through the gift that you and I bring to the community. Sometimes I sit back and I go, you know, what would this community of faith be like if the people who were on the fringe were fully engaged and were giving their gift in full measure in this community? What piece are we missing? Wouldn't it be neat to know And wouldn't it be neat to experience what that gift would be? So the other thing that's semi-random preliminary thought is that everybody has something to bring. What I really want to focus in on, though, now is why community is so important biblically. And here's what this passage tells us. Simply this, that when community is done right, here's what happens. Here's the result. And this is why we can make this a focus for our coming year. First of all, the body of Christ is built up. It says the body of Christ is the church. It's built up. It becomes stronger, becomes more radiant, reflects God's glory more when there's strong community. Secondly, he says that there's unity of faith and knowledge is achieved. We know that near and dear to God's heart is unity because he exists in is the Trinity. And unity is precious to God. And it's precious in the community of faith. And when we go after it, when we make every effort, the unity increases and God is more glorified and we experience God more through the community of faith. Number three, it tells us that people become mature. Now, a lot of us don't like physical maturity so much. Maybe we did when we were little, but now we're not so excited about becoming more mature physically. But I got to tell you, spiritual maturity is a whole different thing. There is nothing more precious, nothing more wonderful than to grow from one level of understanding God and living out the ways of God to the next one, experiencing a new stage of freedom and joy in the Lord. And the Bible says that when we form solid community, that's what happens more and more. People grow in Christ. They become more like Him. They find more freedom and joy in Christ. They experience forgiveness and on and on and on. This is the blessing that happens when we have strong community. People are no longer, number four, people no longer tossed around like infants back and forth. I love the way to think about this. You know, the world can sort of take advantage of us and use us and toss us back and forth and have us sort of serving its own agenda. Or as community grows and people grow in Christ, we become strong and we become world shapers. Rather than being shaped by the world, we start to shape the world. We're forces for good in the world. And the Bible tells us that when community is strong, when people grow together, that's what happens. They no longer become tossed to and fro like infants. They become world shapers who change the things around them. Number five, the text tells us that when this happens, this is a crazy phrase, we attain to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. And I'm not even sure I even know what that means. I know I don't know what that means entirely, but doesn't it sound great? It sounds awesome to attain to the full measure of maturity in Christ as we begin this process of growth. And then lastly, it says that we're built up in love. That as we unite together, as we form stronger community, we're built up in love. We become better at loving others. I love what I read this past week. It says, don't evaluate a church by the numbers, but by the love. Don't evaluate a church by the numbers, but by the love. The quality of the love and the quantity of the love and the kind of love. Another church researcher who's examined thousands of churches says this, unfeigned practical love has a divinely generated magnetic power far more effective than evangelistic programs which depend almost entirely on verbal communication. It's a big way to say that love has a powerful effect in the lives of others. So this is what happens. The body of Christ is built up. There's unity in the faith and in knowledge. People become mature. People no longer toss to and fro like infants. We attain to the whole measure of fullness of Christ, and people are built up in love. And when that happens, a whole other set of circumstances begin to take place. When all of those things begin to click, then more children get brought up in the ways of the Lord in our community. Then families get the right focus. Single people find wholeness. Purposeless people find purpose. Young people capture a vision for their lives. Old people get served. Victims of injustice receive help. Poor people are strengthened. Older people get to share their wisdom. The community at large gets a chance to see Christ and find Him. People's eternities are transformed. Evil is opposed. And most importantly, the God of the universe is worshipped to a greater extent. That's what happens when they're strong community. And somebody was about to clap over here. I think that's a good thing. That's what we want. I can get excited about a vision like that. Now, I was working on this message, and every time I came to this part, just so you know the kind of torture that goes on in my mind, I kept remembering the $6 million man. Do you remember that TV show? Some of you remember the TV show. If you're about my age, or maybe a little younger, you watch the TV show, The $6 Million Man. And The $6 Million Man was a show about a guy who was an astronaut, and he crashed, and he was nothing left of him, and they decided to rebuild him with bionic arms and everything like this. And so it cost him $6 million to do this. And I looked up the introduction. I kept thinking about this. And some of you remember this. This is the introduction. It says, Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster. And then da-na-na-na, you know, and the whole thing goes on. And when I was 10 years old, man, nothing got my juices flowing more than the introduction to the $6 million man. Because I would be listening to this and da-na-na-na, and I'm ready. And some of you are nodding your heads because you were there too. I mean, for a 10-year-old, that is like, that's it, you know. And I'm not 10 anymore. But there are some things that still get the juices flowing. And so I wondered how I could get our juices flowing a little bit. So I came with a little thing here. Solano Community Church. A church. Still young. Gentlemen and ladies, we can build her. We have the community. We have the capability to make Albany's greatest community church. There's only one. Solano Community Church will be that church. Better than she was before. Better, stronger, faster. And I was thinking that at the end of the year, maybe we could have a foot race against all comers, you know, and just let everybody come in. Now, are you inspired? I know I'm a total goof and silly, but I, you know, you can only handle so much inspiration, and then you got to be funny about it, or try to at least. This is what we're hoping God will do in our community over the next year. And the question then becomes, how are you going to proceed? How are you going to make this happen? How are you going to make or see or invite God to do the work that he wants to do in our community? And just the last little piece of the verse that we looked at, if we can put that up, Mark, says simply this. Verse 16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work. And I want to focus just on those three different words. Join, held, grows. What we're going to do is join, and we're going to hold, and we're going to grow. That's going to be our strategy. The first one is join. And join's going to entail some changes in our lives. We're going to make space for others, physical, emotional space. And we've talked about this a lot, that something that really is missing oftentimes in our world is simply the idea of presence. When we're going to build relationships, we need to be present in the lives of others. And if we're not present, the relationships can't form. And so if we're going to join, we need to make space. And secondly, it's going to mean embracing risk. Julie Chan shared a wonderful testimony earlier this year where she said, you know, I jumped into a home group. I was afraid that, you know, people might say something that, you know, might be tough. But I stuck it out, and now I'm so glad I did. And that was a great testimony about whenever you get into community, no community is perfect. You're always risking getting hurt somehow, one way or another. And yet the rewards on the other side are worth it. Second thing we're going to do is hold. We're going to hold. What this means is really hanging in through the good stuff and the bad stuff. It means learning to appreciate differences between us. It means loving, learning to love and speak truth in the right measure, as the passage talks about. And then the third thing we want to do is we want to grow, and that means we want to have Christ-focused relationships. I think one of the things that scares me about talking about building community is that we would just sort of get this inward focus and there wouldn't be any direction to it. But in the church, when we talk about building community, it has a Christ focus to it because we're trying to build one another up in Christ, in maturity in Christ. And that's going to be the focus of our community building. We need to take responsibility, each learning what our particular contribution is, and then we need to see that growth in Christ-likeness is a normal aspect of being part of the body of Christ. Now, the church itself is going to do some things to help bring this about. We're going to create opportunities. We have our home groups. We have some fun activities that we've been doing. We just stepped into Coffee 2.0, for those of you who don't know. We have Pete's Coffee instead of... We had the world's worst church coffee for a while. And now it's better. And we're hoping that that's going to have a huge impact on our community. I think it will. We're going to teach on relationships. Our series up and coming is 6 ways or 7 ways to grow your friends. So it's got that intentional aspect to it. We are going to be training our shepherds, our home group leaders, on how to be the best shepherds that they can be over the coming year. We're going to be adding the spiritual focus to our relationships. We've been working on this discipleship project where we're going to provide a way for you to kind of evaluate where you are and then with your friends grow and make a plan for growth, spiritual growth in your life. And this is a key aspect of building friendship. We want to give you some direction in that way. We're going to be offering ways for you to figure out what your spiritual gifts are so that you can be a part of the community serving in that way. And then lastly, we're going to encourage one another through testimonies of this happening. So that's what we're going to be looking at, building vital community. And I just need to pray for us in that. And we're going to start, though, with the best, most community-oriented sort of activity that we can do, which is sharing communion together. And so in a second, I'm going to have Kevin come up and lead us in that. But let me just pray before we do that. Lord, help us to exchange human strength for divine empowerment as we set out in this year. Help us to honor you by doing all that we do with faith and a sense of expectancy. As we set out, we can sort of say, well, this may or may not happen. Or we can walk out, step out with faith. We ask you to fill us with expectation and faith. Lord, fill us with compassion for the people around us, for one another. Give us courage to take risks where we need to take risks. Help us to find our calling in this community. And most of all, we pray that you would help us to lift up Christ in our midst. That you would lift yourself up, Lord Jesus, in our midst.